Can't tell you how grateful I am for the opportunity and privilege to stand before you once again today. We have so much to be thankful for. Did you wake up this morning? Could you see the sunrise? Are you able to breathe on your own without a ventilator? Are you able to take nourishment? Can you feed yourself? Could you taste your food? Can you smell the roses? Can you take somebody's hand? Can you feel warmth and cold? Are you able to walk, to talk? Can you hear? Are you able to read and to understand? If you can do these things, then you need to be thankful, because not everybody here can. No matter how bad a shape we may think we're in, perhaps we don't have to look very far to find someone else in worse shape than ourselves. If you take your songbook and look at the song that we just sang, and I appreciate the leader leading the songs that we've been able to think about blessing today. Number 68, Count Your Blessings. If it's okay with you, I'd like to read those lyrics again. When upon life's billows your tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you're called to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you'll be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. As you look at the song, note how each verse begins with a challenge and ends with the fact that no matter what happens, if we will count our blessings, we'll be surprised. Verse 1, it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. We'll be singing. Verse 2, you'll be singing as the days go by. We'll be rewarded. Verse 3, your reward in heaven. And we'll be helped and comforted. Verse 4, help and comfort. The song teaches us to not be discouraged. Verse 4, so amid the conflict with the great or small, do not be discouraged. Why not be discouraged? Because God is over all. And reminds us in verse 3 that we have wealth untold, a reward in heaven, a home on high, as well as help and comfort now to our journey's end. Verse 4. So, as the chorus says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God hath done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. And if we'll do that, as the text below the title of the song from Psalm 40 and verse 5 suggests, we may just find they are more than can be numbered. If we will but do what the psalmist did and make the Lord our God, I'd like for us to do what that song suggests that we do and count our blessings. I take you to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 3, where the apostle said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." It needs to be observed from this particular passage that all blessings of the spiritual nature are to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if all blessings that are spiritual in nature are in Christ, then how many are to be obtained or enjoyed outside of Christ? Not a single one. In order for us to count these blessings, we've got to be in the Lord. I had originally thought of presenting this in a one-shot lesson this morning, but decided to divide it into two doses. We're going to make this a blessing-counting day, if the Lord will. As we call attention to some this morning, and we hope this afternoon, and would you find it in the framework of your schedule to come back and be with us at 3 o'clock? We hope that you can. As we think about the blessings to be realized in Christ, let me suggest to you, first of all, that in Christ we find the blessing of answered prayers. In the book of John 15 and verse 7, Jesus himself said, "If ye abide," abide where? I want you to note the next two words, "in me, and my words abide in you." What's the result of that? Of being in Christ? He said, "Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." What is that? The blessing of answered prayers. Can you think of a greater blessing than to be able to ask what ye will and it be done? Would you like to have that blessing? I want to recommend to you that it's available today, it's accessible, and it can be yours if you're in Christ. In 1 John 5 and verse 14, John said, "And this is the confidence that we have," note the next two words, "in," where? Him. Who is that? That's the Lord. What's the confidence that we have in him? "If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Did you notice where that confident praying is? It's in him. That means I don't have that confidence outside of the Lord. And so it should inspire me to do what is necessary to be in the Lord and to remain there so that I can enjoy this blessing of answered prayers. A second blessing of a spiritual nature to be found in the Lord is that of peace. That's a beautiful word. There's not enough of that in the world today. There's too much turmoil, even in our beautiful country. Peace is available spiritually. It's of great value to have peace with God, to have peace of mind. In the book of John 16 and verse 33, I learned where Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Notice in me, that's the emphasis. Tells where that kind of peace is found. Where is it? It's in Christ. In Romans 5:1, Paul said we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ we have peace. No peace without him. For he is our peace, Ephesians 2:14. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter 5:14, "Peace be with you all that are where?" In, not outside of, but in Christ Jesus. A beautiful song. I like the story behind it. "It is well with my soul," number 561. It came out of tragedy, difficult circumstances for the hymn writer. It says, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." You know what that is? That's the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Philippians 4 in verse 9. And you can have that kind of peace, whatever your lot, in Christ. A third blessing of a spiritual nature to be found in Christ is redemption. Redemption, according to Romans 3 and verse 24, is in Christ. Paul penned, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption. That is where? In Christ Jesus. If you look to the underlying meaning of that word as used in that passage, it suggests a releasing effected by payment of ransom. Who was it that paid the ransom? And what was the ransom price? Jesus paid the ransom, and the price was with his precious blood. Without the blood of Christ, without Christ, there would be no redemption. There would be no releasing, because there would be no payment of ransom for sin. In Ephesians 1:7, Paul said, in whom? You have to underscore those words. In whom? That's Christ. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And in Colossians 1:14, he went on to say, again in a parallel passage, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You can have the forgiveness of sins. There's a good Bible definition of redemption, by the way. The forgiveness of sins, the release of that in Christ. But also the Bible teaches that in Christ there is no condemnation. Romans 8:1, listen to this. There is therefore now no condemnation. He didn't put the period yet. He got to read on. He said, to them which are where? Where is it that it said no condemnation to them? Them who? Which are in Christ Jesus. That means there's condemnation, evidently, to those who are outside of Christ Jesus. And that word condemnation has to do with a damnatory sentence. The scriptures use that word, damned, like in the book of Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth is baptized should be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. The opposite of condemnation or damnation is justification. Romans 5:16-18. That's acquittal from guilt. The idea of God's pronouncing or declaring us to be righteous and free from our damnatory sentence. We would like to have that, wouldn't we? It's in Christ. I tell you something else that's in Christ. That's where we're approved. Approved. Romans 16 and verse 10, Paul said, salute Apelles, approved where? In Christ. In Christ. Would you like to be approved? We like that word approved. Maybe you're trying to get a loan. They say approved. It's a good feeling if you're trying to get it, need it. You want the approval of God. Those who are approved of God today are those who are in Christ. We need to, as Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. But furthermore, it's in Christ that we're sanctified. 1 Corinthians 1:2, under the church of God which is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified. Sanctified where? In Christ Jesus. That means to be purified internally by reformation of soul, to be set apart from uncleanness to holiness, consecrated to God. The Bible connects saints, sanctified people, with those who are in Christ. In Philippians 1:1, Paul wrote to the saints in Christ Jesus. In chapter 4, verse 21, he says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. In Colossians 1:2, to the saints in Christ. And so saints in this age are those who are in Christ. Are you in Christ? Are you a saint? Have you been sanctified? Furthermore, there's hope in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. This shows that our hope is in Christ, and it is that which extends beyond this world. It's not in this life. It's in the world to come. Without Christ, we have no hope. Ephesians 2:12. That's why Paul wrote of the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Christ, which is our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1. And when he wrote the Thessalonians about those who had fallen asleep or died in the Lord, he said not to sorrow as others which have no hope. And so unlike others which have no hope, there's hope for those who are in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But furthermore, it's in the Lord, Jesus Christ, that we're made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Christ we are alive unto God. Romans 6:11. Alive from the dead. Romans 6:13. It's in Christ that we're a new creature. If any man be in Christ, Paul said he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so it's in Christ that we have newness of life. Romans 6:3 and 4. We're a new man. Ephesians 4:24 and Colossians 3:10. Would you like to be a new man? Would you like to walk in a new sphere of life as a new creature? You can in Christ. And then finally this morning, number 10. It's in Christ that we have liberty. Why be in bondage? Why be in servitude when you can be free? Because the false brethren, Paul said, unawares brought in who came in privily. That is, they came in by stealth, secretly, to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. That in the setting has to do with liberty and freedom from the Mosaic yoke of bondage, the law of Moses. We have liberty from sin. We have been set free by the Son of God. And in John 8:36, the Lord said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And thus Paul could write about the glorious liberty of the children of God in Romans 8 and verse 21. Now remember, these blessings are found in Christ. To be able to count these blessings, we got to be in the Lord. And so how do we get in the Lord so we can count these blessings? The Bible answers that in Romans 6:3 and Galatians 3:27. Baptized into Christ. If you've been baptized into Christ and have remained there, you can count these blessings. But if you'd like to be able to count these blessings and you're not in the Lord, you need to take the steps necessary to get into the Lord by hearing His word, believing and obeying it, and repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized. And then once we get in the Lord, we got to stay put. We can't leave Him. We must abide in Him. John 15, verse 4, Jesus said, abide in me. If you've not been baptized, all things are ready. If you've obeyed the gospel, but you've left the Lord, won't you return? As together we stand and sing, Jesus is calling.